He is risen.
He is risen.
A reading from Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 to 8. And amazingly, you find that in most of your Bibles, the verses 9 and following are in italics. I don't believe that those are from the original manuscript. And it's an amazing way that it ends. Listen to how the story goes. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had in fact been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said, "for you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your word would do what it is meant to do, to bring life. Guide us, we pray, that we would be faithful to it. In Jesus' name, amen. What if? Have you ever asked that question? Oh, what if? What if the Vikings would have won just one Super Bowl? Would my life now have meaning? What if I'd have been a Niners fan? No, actually, I never asked that question. What if Montana would have dominated and ruled the world like Rome? Seriously, what if, you know, we do this all the time, I'd have been born 6'2", in different circumstances in life. What if I'd have had this experience or that? What if I hadn't made this particular choice on the road in which I had been following? People are asking this question right now. What if my loved one wouldn't have got onto a Malaysian Air flight or a ferry across the Korean Bay? What if things were different? What if? What if? The difficult thing about the what-if question, of course, is that it's asking something that really can never be answered, apart from maybe nuggets of wisdom we may gain along the way, is to say that if we were faced with a similar circumstance on the road ahead, we might have garnered some insight that might help us in a particular decision, but at the end of the day, the question is still unanswerable. There's no what-ifs about what has already happened. Can't go back. Can't change what has been. But the what if question is not a bad one on Easter. The questions we want to ask this morning is this, that rather than saying, what if some such and such hadn't happened to me, what if we would ask, what if what they say they saw was actually true? And what if Jesus had said about himself also is actually true? And therefore, if what they saw was true and what Jesus said about himself was true, what if then this is now a new beginning for me? Not a what if about the past, but a what if about now. What if what happened 2,000 years ago now matters immensely for me? Those are the three questions we want to ask this morning. And what if what they saw was true? What if what they saw was true? Well, the truth is that no one really takes it for granted even to today. Nor should they. You should investigate the truths about our faith. But watching and reading basic articles and online, CNN, New York Times, you name it, the headlines are pretty surprising. Christians still 2,000 years ago debating the truth of what actually happened there. Did Jesus actually rise from the grave? As they say in the creed, on the third day he rose again from the dead. New York University professor Scott Korb says no, but in fact it doesn't affect the Easter meaning at all. He says, the miracle of a bodily resurrection is something I rejected long ago without moving away from its basic idea. What I mean is that we can reach the lowest points of our lives of going deep into a place that feels like death and then find our way out again. That's the story of the resurrection. At Easter, expressing community through others. Further, my favorite heretic, John Shelby Spong, who does not believe anything in the Bible, but who is a bishop, says that what the resurrection says is that Jesus breaks every human limit, including the limit of death, and by walking in his path, you can catch a glimpse of that. And I think that's a pretty good message. Did you get up today to hear just a pretty good message? Easter, just kind of a positive thought, kind of an idea that the story of Easter is just that, you know, tighten the belt a little bit, toughen up, you can overcome life. Boy, I don't know how people can write these things after having lived through the 21st century. How do you live through World War II and say that all the world needs is just a change of attitude? Christians believe that, in fact, he did rise from the dead. And here's why we say that those who want to just find a spiritualized meaning in it are quite mistaken, sadly mistaken. Simply because in the story we learn two things here is that, first, the idea of a resurrection happening in history was not something that they expected at all. It's not something the disciples expected. It's not something that any Jewish person, good Jewish believing person, would have thought of. They knew and they believed, at least the Pharisees did, that it would happen at the end of time. That is to say, on the last day. If you remember the story of Mary and Martha, I know that on the last day, the resurrection is going to happen. But no one believed that this was going to happen in the midst of human history. N.T. Wright's been a big writer on this. Greeks never believed in resurrection. The Jews who did believe in the resurrection believed it would be in the end, and this is happening right here, right now. It is not something that anybody would have expected. It's not something that they would have written about if it had never happened, because it doesn't make sense to their worldview. And furthermore, the second point, if you notice that on this Mark text, the first three witnesses to the tomb were women. In that time, their voice was not accorded the same weight as a man in a court of law. If you wanted to fabricate a story, you do not write in that the women were the ones to be the first to witness the tomb. That would have lacked credibility in those days, believe it or not. And in fact, Celsus, the Greek philosopher who lived in the 2nd century A.D., who became highly antagonistic to the Christian faith. He wrote a number of works arguing against it. And one of his main reasons for this was that, hey, it's based on the testimony of women who can't be trusted. So it can't be true. The gospel writers left it in. Jesus' behavior towards women, of course, was very different. But it's also because they didn't make it up. It was
fact. It was something that they had witnessed. They didn't change the story to appeal to people. They didn't provide a spiritualized meaning. And in the course of the story, the shock of the fact that the resurrection had happened in this way in the middle of history, which they didn't expect, that it was testimonied by women at the tomb, and they left, thirdly, afraid. This is not a great, glorious message. They were scared to death. It gives here the basic truth of what he's writing here in the Gospel of Mark. And the angel tells these women, believe what you're witnessing. Look and see. There's no body here. Here are the grave clothes, but they no longer cover a corpse. You're not hallucinating. He is risen from the dead. Death no longer had a power on the one they called Messiah. We do believe that what they said was true. But the historical nature of the reality still points to a question of why does it matter? You can actually believe an event happens in an amazing fashion, but not that it has meaning. Not that we should really care. We could just commemorate it. What a cool thing. He rose from the dead. Well, what did the angel say? Remember what he told you. Go and return. You will see him just as he told you. What if Jesus, what he said, was really true? Remember what he told you. Now, I totally get this comment coming from the angels because I have boys. And a new thing in our household right now is repeat, please, what I just told you to do. I need to know that you hear me. And routinely, the test is flunked. Literally, within seconds, it's flunked. I mean, can you imagine having a test and you say, listen, you're going to have a test. The question to the test is, what's the capital of California? The answer is Sacramento. So, what is the capital of California? What's the question? What's the answer? This is what it's like with my boys right now. They are not focusing. They are not listening to me at all. Can anybody say an amen that the adults are kind of like, oh, yeah. I was going to say, how about adults? The spouse you're sitting next to, would they say you're not listening? What did he just say? You know what's happening, yes. Three times, chapter 8 of Mark, chapter 9 of Mark, chapter 10 of Mark, he sits down with his disciples like I sit with my boys. And he says, listen, here's what's going to happen to the Son of Man. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be handed over. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be killed. And on the third day, he's going to rise again. You'd think, after three times, adults, that when it happens on the Easter morning, they would have said, ah, totally get it. No, they're in fear. They're hiding out in a room. They're not expecting it to happen at all. Again, they did not believe it was going to happen at midpoint of history. And yet his words were there. And if what they saw was true, that the grave was empty, and if therefore what he said was true, that it happened just as he said, that we need to pay close attention to all that he said. We need to pay close attention to what he said in light of who he is. Jesus isn't just a great teacher telling human beings to be nice. This isn't just a good message today. Philip Yancey writes in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, how would telling people to be nice to one another get a man crucified? Right? What government would execute Mr. Rogers or Captain Kangaroo? That tells a story. Jesus' message was threatening to everyone around him. The Romans feared it. The Jewish authorities feared it. The disciples were offended by it, saying, no, Jesus, this isn't the way it's supposed to go down.
Because it said that only Jesus himself can forgive sins, that he was in fact God in human flesh. Only he can transform lives. And for all humans who would rather save themselves, saying, no thanks, I'm on my way, my own way, the message of Jesus is threatening. For it says that we are no longer in control of our lives, but he is. Yet he has conquered and paid the debt that we ourselves should have paid. What if what they saw was true? And what if what he said about himself, the Son of God who came to pay a ransom on our behalf, was true? Then what if this is the beginning? What if this is something new? What if this is a defining moment where what lies behind us need not be worried about, that the what-if questions no longer need to be asked? What if I'd not done that? What if I'd have done this? What if I'd have been better? What if I'd have been a better dad? What if I'd have been a better mom? What if I'd have taken this road and this particular fork in the road? Would things have turned out differently? No more questions like that. What if this is a new beginning? What if, in fact, what he did on that Easter allows us to no longer live in the past, but now to live in life now in the fullest? Christians throughout the world are gathering today to celebrate Easter, to proclaim faith in a God who gave his life so that all who might believe in him might live. Why? Because we believe that what happened to him is true, that who he said he was really true, that in fact, this has a transforming effect on our lives, that has a point. It's not a beautiful message to put on a Hallmark card, but it's actually a moment of transformation, that when we believe what is true here, it calls us to a new life, a new truth. I love the line, old Scotch blood in me, from Braveheart, all men die, but not all men really live. All men die, but not all men really live. What if you really were to live now? What if you were to stop pretending that the life that you're devoted to, consumed by? What if you realize it's nothing? What if you realize right now that you don't want to spend the rest of your days wasting any hours or minutes on frivolous things or things and goals for yourself, but live now for something greater, for a God who has come to set us free? Are you afraid? We all can be afraid at times. Fear being held captive to our past, afraid to move forward in life, afraid we can never be who we want to be. What Jesus is doing here on Easter is so clear. You can live your life now so as not to die. Or you can lay your life on the line so that you might indeed live. And this is the message of Jesus, who says, those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who want to lose their lives for my sake will save it. He's not blowing smoke here. He knows exactly what it means to live what in fact he said. He laid down his life for us. Friends, Christ died for you, in order that you might have a new beginning. If he has not been raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. If he has not been raised from the dead, there is really no point in listening to all that he said, maybe a few nuggets of wisdom here and there. But if he did, in fact, rise from the dead, if he is who he says he is, then you, in fact, can now have a new beginning, a new start. Risen for you. Enter into that by faith. That is to say, believing
that what they saw was true, an empty tomb. Believing that what he said was true, that for God so loved the world that he laid down his life for you. Believing that in Christ we can have a new beginning. Let's pray. The world that he laid down his life for you.